That was good. All right, I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 4 with me, if you would. And it's a blessing to be able to be here and speak tonight. I'm looking forward to it. I chose to be up here, so I didn't have to get mic'd down there. So now I have to stay behind the pulpit, so I have to kind of behave. All right. So I read last week about a gentleman who had recently retired, and he wanted to do something with his life. And so he decided that maybe he could go to the hospitals and entertain folks. So he worked on his keyboard, worked up some funny songs, and he worked on some jokes and got a hold of a hospital. They set it up where he could go in, and he went in. There was a pretty good little group there when he came in. So he went through his routine that he had worked up. And he sang the funny songs, and he told the jokes. And then he was done. And he had to, you know, make an exit, and he had basically told them he was done. So he headed out, and he thought, maybe I should say something else. And he said, I hope you get better. And it had been a kind of a quiet group, but a little old man in the front said, well, we hope you do too. And so when I'm done tonight, please don't think about that. All right. All right. So anyway, I would like to actually deal with a topic that came to my mind a few years ago, and I had done some study on it, and I did a little more as we prepared for the message tonight. And if you'd look in Philippians chapter 4 with me, I'd like to just read a couple of verses there, verses 11 through 13. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then it ends up with a verse which we all need to have underlined in our Bibles. I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me. Let's pray together. Lord, as we take these moments to look in your word, I would ask that you'd help me to be clear in what I say, but most importantly, Lord, I pray that what you have to teach us tonight would be very clear and applicable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to have to lay a little groundwork here, so come with me. It's very important that you understand where we're coming from here, but we are in a stress-filled society. As I have read on stress, I found that it seems like since kind of the, probably about the time I was born, but in the 50s, that's probably, is that what you're thinking, Pastor? I didn't cause it. I know. Just relax on there. Yeah, I know. That was not good that you would laugh, and it wasn't even funny, a funny time. But about the time I was born, stress came into the world. But around that time, they said that stress in America really increased, all right? And so as we look at stress, we find that we are the most affluent country in the world. We all pretty much know that, correct? And we found that our affluency has not taken care of the problem of stress. You'd think the things that we would want we're able to get better than most countries or pretty much any country. But we're the most stressed out country in the world. And there are countries that have far less than us that are very content. I want to deal with a topic tonight of discontentment, but I'd like to just deal with some stress words first. So when we think of a word like anxiety, does anybody want to take a, just to keep you involved here, does anybody want to take a shot at what anxiety is? You ever been anxious? You ever felt anxiety? A fear of the future, exactly right. It's the fear of what's going to happen, what might happen, right? And so many people go to bed at night worried about the next day or what might happen in the future. We look at the world scene right now. It's got to be very anxious for some people. Would you not agree? I'm thinking of the car left at the Kiev airport for the Hugheses, and I think, wow, that's got to be an anxious thought. How do I get my car? You know, what if I do find it is a cinder when I get there, you know? And all these things take place. Anxiety is just really an uncertainty, a fearful uncertainty about the future. Another stress word that often these words get used interchangeably, and they're not interchangeable, is frustration. Any of you here, would you be honest enough to say you've ever been frustrated? Oh, good. Okay. Well, cool. All right. We have that many at invitation time. We're going to have a great altar fall. But frustration. We all face frustrations, right? Now, since Julian did such a great job with anxiety, can someone help me with what do you think frustration is? Since we all have it, we should know how to define it. Very good. Can you see my notes? No? Okay, good. But it's some expectation, plan, or desire that just didn't work out the way I thought it should. So we get frustrated. But what I want to deal with tonight is discontentment. And this is, and I'm going to give you the definition here because from here on out, I've got to have it. All right. Discontentment is a dissatisfaction. It's just really a restless unease. And as we read in our passage tonight, Paul is saying we need to be content. But we find ourselves very discontent. And there are legitimate times to be discontent. Can you? This might be a little iffy. If I think you're wrong, I'll just go to somebody else. But I taught a senior adult Sunday school class in a church in Kansas City, and I had about 250 senior adults there. And senior adults tend to speak right up. Matter of fact, if you ever want to have an answering prayer session time, just open it up for a prayer request in a senior adult class. I remember one time a man in the back, I don't know how many earned doctorates he had, but he'd never said a word in class, always was an encouragement to me though afterwards. But he raised his hand, and I thought, wow, he's actually going to give a prayer request. And he says, it's starting to sound like an organ recital in here. That, some of you will get that later, maybe tonight. But anyway, how did I get there? What are some legitimate times to be discontent? Micaiah? Normally, it's going to be a discontent with our spiritual life. That was very good. I didn't even have to go by you. That was excellent. Okay? Is there anything else? I'll give you one, because we should be discontent with the state of society, right? With the sin. Anything we can make a difference in, if we could make a bigger difference, we should be discontent with that, which would tie in to what Micaiah just said here. So there are some legitimate discontents. But the Bible gives some warnings about discontent, and I want, as I lay this groundwork, have you think about this. Most of the warnings have to do with money, possessions, or physical and emotional hardship. Luke 3:14 says we're told to be content with our wages. Now, if that was the case, it would put all the union work guys out of work, right? Because they wouldn't have anything to go on strike for. But be content with our wages. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, be content having food and raiment. Therewith be content. Hebrews 13:5, we're supposed to be content with such things as we have, our possessions. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10, Paul is talking about glorying, actually being happy in, listen to this list, infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses. Is that a list that you would want to glory in? It doesn't get me real excited, I'll just be honest about it. But Paul is writing to us as an example, is he not? And so as we look at this, I had to think about this just a little bit. I got to writing and reading, and I thought, you know, I'm going to just look up some secular things. I'm thinking, why are we so discontent today? Why are we? And I, by the way, I think it affects Christians as well as the unsaved. Obviously, we have the resources and to deal with it, but it doesn't mean we always do. And so I just quickly pulled a couple of things from some psychology magazines because I thought, I wonder if the world is dealing with this and how they're dealing with it. And here's one from the American Psychologist, a brand new article here, and it's called The Discontent Explosion in Mental Health. They said that striking changes have taken place in the mental health field over the past 10 or 15 years, and it's an explosion of discontent. This is a 2022 article, just so it's just been in the last couple of months. And I didn't really have time to go through a lot, but I've got several others like that. And I thought, what has happened in the last 10 or 15 years? No, this is Bob Christensen thinking now. I'm not quoting scripture or anything like that. Can any of you think of what might have taken place in the last 10 or 15 years? Social media. When was Facebook first started? Anybody know? I know because I looked it up. It was in February of 2014, and it didn't instantly come into popularity, but in the last little bit, after a few years, it was a very big thing. Now, you say, why are you shooting that direction? Well, here's the thing. See, we've always had advertising. I think it's probably social media and advertising in my mind, but we've always had advertising, right? And advertising is trying to have you get what you want or want what you don't have. That's good advertising for those people that are in business. You get people to just buy what they want or to want what they don't have. But the social media has changed, really, I believe, our nation. And we have many secular people telling parents, you need to keep your kids off social media. We've seen a rise in suicides, depressions, counseling, psychology, psychologists, psychiatrists, mental therapists are very, very busy people because of what's happened. And they point right back at social media. Now you say, are you against social media? Not really. I don't get real excited about Facebook or anything like that, but you know, my thing is this, like, that are single that would like to be married. And there's people that are single because they've lost a spouse through whether it be death or a divorce. There are people that are in marriages that are unhappy and unfulfilled, and they don't see how that's ever going to change. And you're going to deal with it as the world deals with it, or you're going to deal with it as God would have you to. So if you're going to deal with disappointment, first of all, you need to recognize discontentment. I said disappointment. If you're going to deal with discontentment, you need to realize it's sin. The very because I reacted naturally. But let me just say tonight, it's not okay. 1 Timothy 6:6 says that godliness with contentment is God's goal for us, not my natural man. First reaction. You'll know a lot about yourself when that happens. But you need to give that back to God. You need to take a minute.